What would happen if a well-known Chicago news anchor quit his job to drive a car for Lyft? What if he captured the real stories of the real passengers who ended up in the back seat? And what would happen if he aired those stories in a weekly podcast? I'm Anthony Ponce, and I did that. So download Backseat Rider at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's ready to break down the electoral map of co-HOH. I'm Rob Cisternino, and we have a very fun show here tonight as we have just seen a care package delivered to the Big Brother house where Jason has become your co-HOH. And we go into a very tense weekend with Shelby and Jason sharing HOH. And today we're going to talk through all of those scenarios and much more with our esteemed panel of live feed correspondents. First joining us is a man still triggered by the Australian Survivor finale. Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. Yeah, I recorded a show about that and I had some fun. Went a little OTT, and I've definitely gotten some criticism for it, but you know, it's all love.
Yes, there's actually video floating around of Alex ranting about the finale that's very similar to the late night jamboree talking about Shelby and Alex.
I'm not aware of this footage, but you know. If you could produce it, maybe I'll recant my testimony here.
Yes. And then also joining us once again, a man who was badgered in round one of the So You Think You Can podcast competition, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I really would not expect anything less from a podcast that Brent hosts. So.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Boy. So much to talk about from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. We are headed into a weekend where Alex is going to be up next with Team Alex. If you don't know what we're talking about, we have a voice style competition where we are looking to add another voice to the esteemed panel of live feed correspondents. And we're doing a very fun competition where Team Alex, Team Brent, and Team Taryn are going ahead with their own podcast. Daily coverage is the final result of all of this. A huge twist for BBOTT. Alex, I really was thinking about this today, and I feel like that the analysis coming out of these daily recaps may have a factor in how the voting goes down this home stretch.
It's very possible, Rob. You know, this whole thing reminds me, I don't know if you remember, like there was these old commercials for like LendingTree or something like that was always saying like, when banks compete, you win. Well, yeah, when live feed correspondents compete, Rob, the listeners definitely win.
Yes, the RHAP listener will be the most informed BBOTT voter out there after a month of almost daily podcasts until we get to the home stretch and the finale on December 1st. All right, so we've got our chat room open, hashtag RHAP as well. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We'll take your questions here in this show. Alex, just as a programming note, when is Team Alex getting going on Saturday?
That is going to be at 3 p.m. Eastern. That is tomorrow, Eastern. Saturday. Yep.
Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for that all on robisthewebsite.com. And those podcasts are going to be not in our main feed, but in our RHAPUPS feed. Go to robisthewebsite.com/RHAPUPS. That's RHAPUPS to subscribe. All right. So let's start to talk this through because there are many different machinations of how this is going to be. Of course, that Shelby came out of the HOH the other night. Taryn, how impressed were you with Shelby's face swapping expertise?
I mean, she killed it. I mean, it's been talked about, but like every single person before her that went took about 30 minutes and most of them didn't complete it. And then nobody was even close to finishing at the speed that she did. It was very Janelle-esque.
Yeah, super impressive. So Shelby wins the HOH. And then ultimately today finds out that the care package is the co-HOH, which goes to Jason. Let's talk through this idea first, because I think that a lot of us had Jason penciled in for one of those final two care packages. I think that this might not be the best thing in the world. On the surface, it seems like a good thing for Jason to win a care package. package. But Alex, why might this be problematic for Jason here?
Well, by winning this care package, you are now not eligible to win head of household next time. And next time, as it turns out, is the double eviction, which is a dicey prospect for big targets traditionally in Big Brother. Obviously, this has been so far somewhat of an untraditional game, but, you know, they are talking in the house like they are aware of a double eviction possibility. And one has to assume that they're going to think about people like Jason in that type of setting. So no safety there.
Right. And it's doubly bad for Jason. So basically what's going to happen is that there will be a new HOH that is crowned on Wednesday night. Jason will not be able to compete in that. Neither will Shelby. Somebody will go home in the first part of a double eviction. And then in the second part of a double eviction, Jason will be able to compete for that HOH in the double eviction, but he will not be eligible for that veto because it will be decided by that next to last care package. Right, Taryn?
No, I believe the veto that he will not be able to compete in because there will be no competition is the double eviction veto. So he will both not be able to compete in the HOH and the veto for the double eviction. And then if he survives that, then he can play in the HOH and
both
veto.
Things.
Yes.
So that being said, let's start to talk through the logistics of this. Now, also, Alex, I thought that this was interesting that there was some debate over whether we were going to have a safety ceremony or it was going to be a co-HOH like Big Meech and Natalie share during the season where both of them added one nominee to the memory wall. But it looks like that we are going to have our traditional safety ceremony over the weekend.
Yes and no. It is going to be traditional in the sense that we're going to have two safety ceremonies, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. However, it's not traditional in the sense that it's almost like a snake draft, Rob, where you've got two people picking. Well, I guess it's not a snake draft. It's just a normal draft. We've got two people picking people to save. They're each going to pick one person on Saturday and then one person on Sunday. So it's really not a lot of saving that's going to be going on. But by the end, surely enough, there'll be two nominees sitting there.
But in total, we're going to have four people that are ultimately going to be saved and then one America's nominee. And then we'll have what, one other person, Taryn, who's not in the mix?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There'll be one person.
Okay. So here's what we're going to be doing on this show today is we're going to be doing a lot of talking through the order in which that people are going to be potentially taken off the board because there's a lot of different machinations of how this can all play out. Now, Taryn, what has been the tenor of conversation in the house so far about this? And have Shelby and Jason been comparing notes at all?
Yeah, so they both sides immediately went to work, quickly realizing that they're basically going to have to choose one person from their own side that goes up on the block. And then they have to hope that whoever they claim as their nominee is the person that is able to win the veto. And then if that happens, then they can choose whoever they want to put up as the replacement. So that's basically what it came down to. The Misfits side, they kind of landed on Danielle as their nomination choice, both because she's the most expendable to them and because they sold to her, she's the best competitor of them. So she's okay with it and she's glad to do it. The other side is thinking about either Whitney because she's the most expendable or Alex because she's the better competitor. They haven't really settled on which one they're going to choose quite yet.
Okay. Alex Kidwell. So that is the people that are being pushed into playing in the veto competition. Are they feeling like that? Okay, I'm pumped up. They're getting ready because they are going into battle. Or are they feeling a little bit like there are some hurt feelings?
Well, I guess, I mean, right now it's kind of a mixed bag because you do have Danielle in a position where, you know, Jason is trying to kind of sell the idea that, yeah, I'm turning on Danielle. I don't like her anymore. I'm ready to tell her what's up and nominate her, you know, let her be my nominee. But, you know, it was a plan that they discussed before Jason goes and has that conversation with Shelby. So, you know, you've got that on the one hand. But then, you know, on the other hand, you have, you know, the conversation happening between Jason, Justin, Chrissy, Danielle, that they still want to plan on backdooring Alex. So obviously, you know, there are people who are not aware of kind of like the role or how much trouble they are in this week.
Okay. So we here at Rob is a Podcast have been crunching numbers all afternoon to run through many scenarios of what is going to be going on. Our own John Densford has been crunching probabilities. What we would like to do here is we want to bring up the big board and sort of talk through the likely scenarios of how this safety ceremony is going to play out over this weekend. What do you think of that, Biscuit?
I'm prepared. I'm as prepared as I can be, I think.
Okay. So, Alex, how should we do this mock draft? Do we feel very confident about how this safety ceremony is going to go? Could we project the likely nominees?
So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Part of what Jason was trying to do in selling the idea he's going to nominate Danielle to Shelby is get Shelby to nominate one of her people in return, or not save, rather. Okay. So, in doing so, he was trying to get her to go for Alex. The idea has been presented, but it almost seems impossible that the two people who don't get saved won't be Danielle and Whitney.
Okay, well, let's talk through this safety by safety and try to figure out what this starts to look like. So Shelby is going to be able to save somebody first. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yes.
Okay, so who do we project at this point that Shelby will save first?
She will save Morgan first.
Okay. Yeah. So Shelby ends up saving Morgan. Let's take her off the board. Now, Jason is going to have an opportunity to take somebody off. Who does Jason decide to save, Taryn?
I don't think it matters. It'll be either Jason, Justin,
actually,
or Chrissy.
Will we have America's nominee at this point?
No, that'll happen after the
post-nominees. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So who will he save?
Let's say Justin.
Yeah, okay. I think the logical choice is Justin, A, because they're close, and B, because Shelby would probably be assumed to target him.
Okay. All right. So if we take him off the board, then on Sunday, Shelby ends up getting to save another person. Who do you think she pulls back at this point, Alex?
Probably Alex.
Okay. Taryn, do you co-sign this?
I think that Alex is the most likely choice at this moment, but she has talked about saving Whitney instead and putting Alex on the block because she's a better competitor. She hasn't quite decided yet. They're waiting for the have not reveal, not realizing yet that it's going to be by default Alex, Morgan, and Danielle, I believe, because they're thinking like, who has the most shot, most likely chance of being nominated by America? I want to put that person up. But they haven't realized that it does, have nots don't mean anything. So they'll probably decide after that they realize that.
Yeah. I mean, Shelby is conflicted because Whitney does seem like someone Shelby can beat. And Alex, Shelby is very keenly aware. We know at this point that Shelby doesn't think she can beat Alex, that she feels she needs to get rid of Alex before the final three. The question just is if she feels like she can trust Whitney enough to like let Alex be in danger this week, because I don't know if she really realizes this, but the difference between Whitney being on the block and Alex being on the block could potentially be huge in terms of the likelihood of one of the ball smashers going home.
One of the things that Shelby had been saying was that she really wanted to use this HOH to get Whitney to flip back over to her side. Taryn, do you feel like, is there any possibility that she might try to save Whitney to try to get her to return to the ball smashers?
That is one of her ideas behind putting Alex on the block. She said, you know, not only are you a better competitor, but if we save Whitney, that gets her potentially even further in our good graces. So that's definitely on her mind.
Okay, so let's look at this both ways. Let's do this one scenario where she ends up deciding to pull Alex back with her second safety spot. And then Jason has a choice here between Chrissy and Danielle. You guys are saying that they're going to want to have Danielle play in the veto. So Chrissy is going to be the likely person to be saved?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then protecting her from the America's nomination. So is America only going to have a choice to choose between these two people that don't end up going up on the block?
No, America will choose between all of them.
Voting starts too soon.
Okay. So how will this work? Will it just be whoever had the most votes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So out of these two people, who do you think America would be more likely to put up on the block, Alex?
Well, I mean, from what I'm seeing right now, votes are pretty split between Chrissy and Alex in preliminary polls. If the scenario occurs where Alex is already on the block, I think it's going to be Chrissy for sure. You know, I think Morgan would be in contention, but I think a lot of the votes that would go to Morgan are going to Alex and vice versa.
But in just so that they, if they are safe from the original nomination, that that's not, they are still eligible for America's vote in this spot, right?
Yeah. Just yeah, like okay, any other nomination ceremony.
Got it. Got it. So then we could end up seeing our nominees, our third nominee be Chrissy in this scenario. And then these are the people that are going to go into the veto with Shelby, with Jason, and then one other person from the ball draw.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. This is very, very interesting. Then the only people that would vote, assuming now, well, let me, before we get to that, now, Alex, could you explain how important the veto is this week?
It's pretty much everything. I mean, it really is everything. If the nominees end up being, if Chrissy is not America's nominee, then it's really everything. Because at that point, the ball smashers pretty much are in win or go home mode with the veto, at least probably Alex's, because she's the real target. If Chrissy ends up on the block, it becomes kind of like a real, almost like a Russian roulette kind of a game where a lot of different outcomes could happen. It still seems to me like a lot of scenarios would point to either Alex, Chrissy, or Danny leaving, but there, I can't envision any scenario where the power of veto doesn't get used, which makes it very, very interesting this week.
I mean, doesn't this seem like the safest scenario, Taryn, for the ball smashers? And what we've done here, like, isn't this what Shelby should do? Because then wouldn't you imagine that America plus the sisters are going to vote in the same direction?
Well, if they do, if they put Chrissy on the block, then their odds of surviving are pretty good. But we're also forgetting another factor, which is that I believe Shelby has to claim one of those two nominations. And then if the person that she claims gets pulled off the block, she replaces them. If the person that she doesn't claim, meaning the one that Jason ends up claiming, wins the power of veto or has the power of veto used on them, then he will replace that nominee. So there's even difference between whether she chooses Danielle or Whitney to claim as her nomination.
What do you think
created
she
like
do?
A backwards logic conversation in yes. the house.
So she should want to pick Danielle because then she can choose that if she gets pulled down by Jason's side.
It's a complicated scenario because if she claims Danielle, then the odds are greatly in their favor that that somebody from the other side will go home if Chrissy is America's nomination, because the only person that can pull Danielle down safely is Justin, because then Shelby will have to replace Danielle with somebody from her own side. Anybody else that uses the veto on Danielle, Shelby will replace them with Justin.
Okay.
With that in mind, there's no scenario where they're able to escape one of the misfits going home unless Justin wins. However, if the nominee is Alex instead of Chrissy, those odds flip. And
yep. If America's nominee is Alex,
right. Yes,
correct. Okay.
Those odds flip in the other side's favor, and now Morgan is the one that needs to win the veto to take down somebody like Whitney in order to secure somebody from the other side going home. So it's a very risky proposition, because if you do it right and Chrissy is the nomination, then you're in a great place. If you do it wrong and Alex is the nomination, you're in a really bad place.
Now, how much does it change things, Alex, if Alex is nominated by Shelby versus Alex being nominated by America?
Well, potentially huge, because Alex is a pretty good competitor from what we've seen. So,
and also being nominated by America and then winning the veto, that there will be nobody, we'll just be voting on two people, correct, this week?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's a good point, right?
Yeah. So that could also be, another interesting scenario for this week. So this is by far the most complicated week that we've had in BBOTT, right, Biscuit?
Oh yeah, I think in Big Brother history.
Without question in my mind. There's many potential outcomes here.
Right, and, yeah. And Alex being nominated by Shelby actually probably improves her odds, because if the nominee is somebody like somebody from the ball smasher side.
Okay, well let's talk this through. Okay, so let's put everybody back. So it's a round one. We're going to say is the same, that Morgan and Justin are the first two people protected, and then Shelby ends up pulling back who at this point? Whitney.
If she puts up Alex.
Yeah. So in day two of the safety ceremony, she'll save Whitney. She would protect Whitney, which she has no guarantee how Whitney is going to vote necessarily. Then Jason still ends up pulling back Chrissy. And so now we have Alex already on the block with Danielle. which I would think would almost guarantee Christie is America's nominee. Is that fair?
I would think so.
But not necessarily, given, I mean, the vote's so close that you'd think that would shift it in favor of Christie. But, you know, people may just switch over to somebody like Morgan. So you never really know.
I think with these this organized voting that's been happening this season, I think the more that you throw a late curveball into the mix by throwing somebody like Alex on the block in this spot, I think that the voters are more scrambled and then they end up, oh, some people are going to vote now for Whitney. Some people are going to vote for Morgan. Alex, do you agree with that line of thinking, or do you think that they will then just all very quickly make the shift over to putting up Morgan?
No, I mean, I think it's going to be kind of chaotic, to be honest, especially once these windows get really tight. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule for the next coming week, and some of these voting windows are microscopic. I think it's going to be very, very difficult, and I think a lot of fans aren't going to get votes in time, and it's going to be very interesting to see how some of this stuff goes.
Taryn, it's really going to come down to which side has the better ground game. Who do you think has the better ground game heading into this week? Are you seeing more action from the late night jamboree or the plastics?
It's close. Like it's hard. It's a hard one to call.
Yeah. Wow. This thing is getting, the race is tightening, Alex.
Yeah. How about that, Rob?
Yes. Okay.
A lot of that going around. Yeah.
So then, Alex, is there any worry that, the website, there could be hacking involved and that, there could be a hacking that ends up just, stifling everything this week?
Well, I mean, you always have that concern, but I'd like to think that, you know, CBS All Access, they've got like a crack team over there on top of these things.
All right. So let's go back to this scenario. Okay. So now with Alex and Danielle on the block, the likely nominee from America would then be Chrissy, correct? And then we'd have them in the veto with Shelby and Jason and one other person. If for some reason, it's almost like impossible to imagine all the veto situation. So let's just, for the sake of, you know, clarity, just say that these are our three nominees. Would Morgan and Whitney vote together in this scenario? Or would Whitney go and that she seems like she has been so tight with Justin over these last couple of weeks. Is there some thought that she might collaborate harder with Justin about what he wants to do?
There's definitely a possibility that Whitney flips here because she has been talking about how she doesn't trust Alex really anymore at all. And she thinks that Alex is a big threat to her game. However, Justin also recently told Whitney that his side thinks that Whitney is a big threat and they don't want to work with her either. So it's not like she has a place to go to if she jumps. And it would be a confusing move to me if she did decide to ultimately flip because there's really nowhere for her to go.
Yeah, Alex, are we overrating or underrating the amount of goodwill that Whitney might have for Shelby and the Ball Smashers if Shelby keeps her off the block this week after potentially being seen as a flipper last week?
Well, I think it depends on what your point of view is, but I think in general, people are underrating it. From what I've seen today and just in general, Whitney is spending a lot of time with those girls. I mean, those are the girls she spent the most time with for a lot of days. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you can feel like, oh, this person hurt me, but time heals wounds and the people you get along with are the people you get along with. That's what we've seen this season.
And then Taryn, how much will America in this scenario nominating Chrissy impact what Whitney might potentially do? If they could almost predict that there will be a vote on Chrissy from America, do you think that she will want to advocate to the will of America here and vote with Morgan to vote out Chrissy in this spot, or would they potentially go in a different direction?
I think she's more likely to vote out somebody like Chrissy than really either Danielle or Justin. So I think it would certainly help the case for Whitney to side with the Ball Smashers.
Yeah. And Alex, we talked so much about Danielle and Whitney sort of vying for the same spot on the late night jamboree side of things. Do you feel like that might make Whitney more likely to want to vote against Danielle in this scenario, or is Danielle's name not even on the board right now?
No, I definitely feel like Whitney would vote Danielle out if she had that opportunity. I just also feel like there's a lot of scenarios here where they could end up on the block next to each other, probably more than half.
Now, Alex, could you get into some of these interesting numbers that that John has crunched for us? That one of our listeners, John Densford, has gone through every single potential outcome of this week. And could you reveal some of the findings that he's had in terms of the potentially, what is it, 16 different outcomes that could play out this week?
Sure. Yeah. And yeah, thanks again to John for doing this. This is really great. As Taryn pointed out, I think this does assume that Whitney is going to be voting with the Misfits. So from that perspective, it does at least show us like what all those outcomes look like. But there is a whole nother set of outcomes that would result if Whitney does end up staying loyal to the Ball Smashers. However, like the...
What the heck?
And she did... Yeah, she did, you know, she does seem to love that name.
Yeah.
But after, you know, ultimately the biggest takeaway from it is that Alex is in a lot of trouble this week, followed by Chrissy, followed by Danielle, and, you know, Justin to some degree. Really that... If Morgan or Alex go on the block as America's nominee next to a Whitney and Danielle, and this is just assuming that Alex doesn't go up beforehand and it's not like Alex and Morgan or something like that, that, you know, basically the Ball Smashers have to win the veto or Alex, assumedly one of them definitely is done. And the other scenario being that if, you know, one Ball Smasher, Danielle and Chrissy are on the block together, that the POV becomes... Well, it's just as important, but the number of scenarios expand pretty exponentially. There's a lot of different people who could go home based on who wins and who uses it.
So for Alex, could you rank the three scenarios if you're an Alex fan of what you should be hoping for? Either A, Alex gets pulled off the block by or safety ceremony from Shelby. She ends up being safe. B, she ends up on the block with Shelby nominating her with a chance to play veto. Or C, America puts her up and then she has a chance to play in the veto by way of America. And then potentially there only being two nominees.
I don't even know how to answer that question right now.
I think her best case scenario is if she is put up on the block by Shelby. And that's mostly because there's a situation where if the America's nominee is somebody like Morgan, then the Misfits may have to put their votes on Morgan because they may need America's votes in order to evict one of the Ball Smashers. So in that scenario, you know, where she would be in otherwise danger, they have to vote out Morgan instead of her in order to keep their majority with America.
Okay. So in that scenario that Shelby ends up pulling Whitney back, and then in that scenario, this is what we're talking about where Chrissy becomes America's nominee?
No, it would be Morgan who became America's nominee. That's the bad scenario for her.
Okay. Boy. America's nominee seems so huge. I just feel like that... how is Chrissy not going to be America's nominee this week, Taryn? I feel like that people have been calling for this. I know that she has toned things down. That just seems like the likely choice after a couple of weeks in a row where there was you know, she was right there in the polls.
Yeah, you know, it's the Misfits fans are you know, campaigning in force. They want to make sure that people like Chrissy are safe. So they want to make sure Jason and Justin are safe. Jason's in a lot of trouble next week. Justin could be in trouble this week. So they want to make sure that they're safe. And the Plastics fans, they just don't have as much support. At least at the moment, my poll says 43% are going Chrissy, 49% going Alex. So the gap is starting to widen toward Alex as the nomination.
Alex, I feel like that a couple of weeks ago, the Plastics seemed to have more support. What has hurt their momentum in the poll numbers? You would think that with less people on their side of the house, they'd be viewed as more of the underdog and would start to consolidate some of that support. If Late Night Jamboree is looking like they have a clearer shot at this, you would think that people would maybe start to, there's almost too many different voices in terms of like cooks in the kitchen. Is it just that there's less people for them to split the America's nomination names over?
That could be a factor. Who knows? I mean, apathy could be a factor as the season wears on. I mean, maybe people don't like keep voting for everything.
Plastics fans are defeated.
I don't know. I mean, or like they're just less interested, or I don't know what it is, but ultimately I do think this is a situation where we're going to see the game pretty well be decided by America in this veto in many respects. I mean, like one side is going to have a pretty good, is going to be looking like they're in very good shape moving forward after the next series of events here.
Taryn, how much has the endorsement from Adam Pock hurt Shelby in the plastics?
Probably a lot. I mean, she did win the care package like right after
seems
that
like
happened.
That was the turning point once Adam Pock came out as the number one Shelby fan.
That I definitely hurt their chances, I think. People were not interested in his prize.
No, definitely not. So
I mean, I have heard a lot of complaints about Alex talking to the cameras. Like, that is like the biggest thing I've seen, that like Alex is almost like James-esque. But like, here's the thing, like, America's influence is an element here. Like, I get why you would do it here. I didn't get why James did it.
Yeah.
I at least understand it.
Okay. So Taryn, if we had to project somebody to be going home in part one of the double eviction, that your most likely person is Alex?
Yes.
Okay. And Alex Kidwell, you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, based on Taryn's poll, it's up and going, and I wouldn't have expected these results, but here we are.
I think the thing that really has to happen for Alex to ultimately get momentum back in the game is that I believe Morgan has to go home. I know that seems counterintuitive, but Taryn, is there a scenario that you can come up with where Morgan goes home and that with in a Natalie Anderson sort of way, now that Alex now has a lot of a vendetta?
it's really hard to imagine a scenario where Morgan goes home before Alex, especially this week. And especially moving forward, Morgan is just not a target. In fact, a lot of people talked just today about how they all think that Morgan's a great person to take to the end. So it would be very surprising if Morgan went home first.
Okay. Let's look at the shoe on the other foot a little bit. And let's just talk about, so the worst case scenario for Late Night Jamboree and the Misfits. Taryn, could you talk us through how this week ends up going really pear-shaped for them?
Basically, if Chrissy goes up on the block by America's nomination, that's a really bad sign for them. And then if America's vote follows through with that, they probably lose either Chrissy or Justin. Justin is also in a lot of danger here. Really, if anybody's going to go home from their side, it's going to be either Chrissy or Justin.
How does Justin end up going home?
Basically, if Chrissy is on the block, and Alex could also be on the block, and this could happen as well. It's much, much less likely. But if Shelby's nominee comes down, Shelby will replace that nominee with Justin. And if the plastics have the votes to take Justin out on their own, then they will do so. Obviously, Justin is a bit safer than Alex is, because I don't see America voting Justin out no matter what. So without America's vote to help them, they may have to go to a tiebreaker scenario in certain situations, in which case the HOH that finishes in the highest place in the veto competition will break the tie.
But Taryn, in that scenario, doesn't Whitney have to vote against Justin along with whatever sister is also not on the block? Don't you think that's a bit of a stretch that Whitney will vote Justin out of the house?
It's certainly possible, but you also have to consider that if Justin is up on the block against Danielle, then I think Jason probably votes Justin out. I think Jason says, all right, this is my opportunity then, because he knows he can't go to the end with Justin.
All right. So this is if Chrissy wins the veto, although she would be America's nominee. So I just think that she would come down.
Right. So if say Whitney won the veto or Chrissy was on the block and any plastic won the veto and used it on Whitney, Shelby would replace Whitney with Justin. And okay, then, it would be Justin, Danielle and Chrissy on the block. And I imagine Jason is going to say at that point, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take Justin out here. This is my shot.
Okay. Alex Kidwell, you co-sign all that?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, between all the variables that are in play here and the fact that we're at the tipping point of the game where people are forced to recognize that regardless of who I like, I need to start thinking about who I can actually beat in this game. There's a lot of potential outcomes. It really is insane. And it's hard for me to track, I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
I'm struggling over here.
All right. So that our first safety ceremony is going to be tomorrow night, right, Taryn? And then second one is going to be Sunday night. And then America's nominee is revealed on Monday.
Yep.
Okay. And then the veto plays out on Tuesday and then sending us go into our Wednesday night double eviction, which I now fully understand how this is all going to work out.
You, because I have the schedule if you want it.
Okay, give us the schedule because I know it's tight.
Yeah, well, this is courtesy of Amy Shapiro, who pieced this together from the website and Julie Chen's timeline and stuff. They haven't done a good job of advertising this stuff.
No, they have not.
Yeah. So it seems like it's going to be about 5 p.m. house time, which again is West Coast time, Pacific time, that the first eviction really gets go, or that they really start like the episode proper, right? Like the weekly recap. Yeah. Yeah. So then that means the first eviction will happen around 6 p.m. house time, which means the head of household competition, maybe, a little while after,
which is also counter-programming Survivor, we might add.
Yep. Absolutely is. Yep. And then the double eviction veto care package thing is supposed to be like between 9 and 10 house time. And then after that, you've still got like a veto meeting and another eviction and everything. So East Coast sucks for us, basically. Yeah.
Taryn, do the house guests know that the veto for the double eviction is the next week's care package, or they will basically go outside and expect to compete in a veto competition and it will just be a box that will say, here you go.
I think that's exactly it. I think you just said exactly what it'll be.
Hey, I got socks too.
Yeah. And also let's just reset who's eligible for the care packages at this point. Now, Jason is off the board. Shelby has already gotten hers. So the only people eligible for a care package at this point are now Morgan, Justin, and Danielle.
Yep.
And now Plastics fans, and Alex Whitney, Kidwell, yeah. Right?
And Whitney.
Whitney also.
Don't forget me, Rob.
Yeah, don't forget me. is it all hands on deck to get Morgan the veto in the double HOH?
I mean, all plastic fans on deck, but they may be in the minority.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Process of elimination there.
Because do you feel like that this could be the Waterloo for Jason, Taryn?
Yeah. I mean, Jason is in a really rough spot now. This co-HOH was not good for him in really any way other than just safety for this week, but makes him very vulnerable for next week, especially because he's not even able to just put his targets right on the block. He has to go through the whole safety thing, and there's a large chance that his side can still fail here, and his co-HOH would have been ultimately like pretty useless. And then he will not be able to compete in HOH next week. There will be no chance for him to get veto next week. If he gets put up on the block, it'll probably be next to Justin. So even if Justin gets the veto, he'll have to use it on himself. I think Jason goes home in most scenarios next week, probably regardless
of what
happens this week.
And it really puts even more importance on the idea of getting Alex out of the house this week, because you're going to have Alex and Morgan both able to compete for HOH in that second part of the double eviction coming up on Wednesday. Jason cannot participate in that. If they do that, they will most likely take the shot on Jason, and there's a possibility that the care package could be a veto waiting for Morgan.
Yes.
That's the darkest timeline for Jason.
Oh, yeah.
And then are the votes there? There's going to be no America's nominee, Alex. Would the votes be there in that spot to take Jason out if he's sitting there on the block?
That becomes the question. I have to think so, though, looking around. I mean, we don't necessarily know who's going to go this week. So
Shelby would vote. One sister would vote. Whitney would also potentially vote.
Yeah. I mean, that should be enough to do it. I mean, you just look. I mean, even if you're someone who likes Jason, it's pretty hard to want to keep him around. I mean, you have to know the impact he's going to have at the end of this game.
Yeah. Right. I think the only person that doesn't vote Jason out no matter what is Chrissy. And if Justin does get the double eviction veto and he takes himself off the block, then Chrissy's sitting next to Jason. So there's really not a lot of options.
Okay. All right. Before we get into the questions, I just want to talk through Scott and his conversation with Julie Chen. Hopefully Scott is going to be potentially now a free man. And shout out to Scott if you are watching. So Taryn, what did you think of Scott and his exit interview with Julie Chen?
It was great. I mean, you know, I've liked Scott a lot throughout the season. I really like his approach to the game. I like that he doesn't take things personally. You know, he went out shaking people's hands, And I think he just had a great attitude about it. He talked about how he really enjoyed the experience. He was just grateful to have been there and what a great time he had. I obviously don't like his approach to the game. I don't like the idea of playing for somebody else. But I was correct when I assumed that when he found out about the final three, he assumed that he had no chance of winning because he knew that America didn't like him. And it's true. He had no chance of winning pretty much. So I give him some leeway there. And then also he has an amazing reaction to finding out that that Alex has a sister.
Yeah, he has a good reaction. Here's a little bit of that Julie Chen telling him about the sister twist in the house.
She's been playing this game with a sibling in the house.
Oh!
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the... Yeah, great job by Scott there.
Oh!
Best reaction so far to the sister twist, Alex?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Really blamed a lot of his departure on voting against Cornbread in week one. Do you think that in the sliding doors where Cornbread stays in the house over Chrissy, is this a much better scenario for Scott? Or do you feel like that he was doomed no matter what, Alex?
Oh, no, it's definitely better. Cornbread was like willing to take Scott all the way to the end. Scott was Cornbread was the only guy, the only player this entire season who actually wanted to be loyal to Scott. Scott had to like squeeze drops of loyalty out of everyone else he worked with this season. But Cornbread was like really excited to work with Scott. And instead, Scott decided to turn against him for Shane, who is currently like posting death pictures of Scott on Twitter.
It is literally an entirely new game if Cornbread stays. If Scott does not vote Cornbread out, then America has no control over the game because the other side has the numbers and they win the next two HOHs. Like it's a completely different game. Scott has a way better chance. It's probably the worst move of the season. And I do find it very funny that one of the reasons Scott said that he voted Cornbread out, most of it was because of America's influence and he didn't want to piss America off. But part of it was also that he said, you know, Cornbread, he was just way too obvious about how close we were and how we had like a final two kind of thing. He was just being way too blatant about it. And this is coming from the guy that constantly told everybody that Alex was amazing and that she was his number two and that they were a power couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
That any deal he made had to involve her. Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully it's a easy transition re-entry for Scott. All right. Let's get into some of these questions for you guys. And why don't we start things off tonight with Edmo, a.k.a. Edward 151 Morris. Is that like his favorite drink, Alex?
Man, if it is, Edmo parties hard. I didn't know he went so hard.
Okay. Yeah. Assuming that Shelby and Jason eliminate Danny and Whitney and we put up Chrissy, would it be best for Shelby to veto Danielle and put up Justin? There's a lot of stuff going on here. So if that, assuming Shelby and Jason nominate Danny and Whitney, so those are the two people that are left, and then Chrissy. So Danny, Whitney, Chrissy, would it be best for Shelby to veto Danielle and put up Justin, Alex?
That's tough. Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to actually say no, because I think Jason feels like there's no way he can go to the end with Justin. I think Jason does think he can go to the end with Danielle. And with that in mind, I honestly think it might be better for her to lose Danielle over somebody like Justin, because Justin remains this looming threat and it continues to have discord with the other side. Obviously there's also the chance that you let Justin go too far and that he ends up stealing the show from you.
Well,
so
especially with that care package, I feel like that Justin is such a dangerous looming figure in this end game, because if he gets to six and he gets the care package, there's a good chance he gets to four. And then you only have one shot to be able to get him, Alex.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely someone that is on certain people's radar already. I mean, Shelby would love to take Justin out if she has the opportunity, for sure. It's just the question remains if she'll get the shot with the votes.
Okay. Let's go to Stacked in FL. Tell the LFC the rules. If America's nominee come down, the HOH with the best results in the veto chooses the evictee in the event of a tie. They got the rules. Okay. I think that Taryn explained that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. We said that
whoever places better in the veto will break a tie.
Yes. Yes. I believe, Taryn, did you know Brent predicted that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, actually, I think he said that the veto winner, the veto holder, would break the tie. I don't think he said the whoever places better in the veto, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm probably wrong about that because he said he was right.
Alex, who is America's HOH endorsing for America's nominee?
Oh, Chrissy.
Chrissy. Okay. All right. Yeah. This is from John Heddles. Shelby has the first choice to claim the nominee this week. Isn't it best for her to claim Danielle so she has a better odds for the renom? We're in agreement on that.
There's logic there. Yeah. I mean, that's why this is such a weird week. I mean, that's not the only reason, but in many ways that makes it doubly weird because now you really have to think about whether you want to nominate your target or your ally and in what context.
Yeah. Right. And as I explained, it's a risky move though, because if the nominee is Alex instead of Chrissy, if the American nomination is that way, then that's a really bad move. So it's a really risky move.
Alex, could you talk me through the thinking from the late night Jamboree fan base side of things to give Jason the care package this week? Why the rush to give Jason the care package here instead of next week? Was there a lot of discussion over which week to give him the care package, or it was just like, oh my God, Shelby's the HOH, Jason's in trouble, we got to get it to him this week?
Yeah, that thing. Okay. That sounds about right. Like that was most of what I saw.
Was there also, a lot of resistance to say, hold on, wait this one out?
Well, I think a lot of people are just as worried for Justin and then double. And I think Justin has, from what I've seen, pretty firmly vaulted Jason in pretty much every popularity poll, and Jason is associated with them. So you've got those two guys, they're attached. They both are eligible for care packages. We're running out of time. They're both very popular and have their voting fan bases behind them. And Jason got it now. So I think that speaks to Justin is a lock for one of these next ones.
Yeah, but yes, go ahead.
Honestly, what I saw, because I think that giving it to Jason over somebody like Danielle was like, I mean, assuming Danielle could have got it, like it was really bad for Jason. From what I was seeing, people were telling me, oh, we're giving it to Jason because we like Danielle better than Jason.
Oh, wow. Huge news.
Oh,
yeah. So I would say, yeah, if I'm a Jason fan, especially knowing what we know now, and I know it was a little bit up in the air as how this HOH draw was going to go, I feel like that it would be much better for Jason if Danielle was the HOH. Obviously, he would probably be one of the two people protected. Correct, Alex?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a likelihood that he was going to be America's nominee this week. I mean, we'd be talking about him like we're talking about Justin this week, where I guess there's a chance that he goes home, but it would be very unlikely that Jason would be the person to go up this week, right?
Yeah, Danielle probably would have left Justin as the nominee.
Yeah, I guess that scenario would be where that Shelby's nominee ends up winning the veto, and that's who she ends up picking from the other side. But I mean, there's probably maybe a 10 or 20% chance that would happen, as opposed to probably a much greater chance than that Jason is very vulnerable at this next double eviction.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's go to Fat Tyson Apostle. Wouldn't it make more sense for Jason to leave Chrissy for nomination so America can't put her up? Interesting. So that would really require Jason to be reading the Joker's update poll.
Yeah.
What is the status? Has Chrissy risen in any of those polls, Alex, that you've seen?
No, but in the House, they still are under the impression that she has a lot of fans out there. Like, even today I heard the conversation that like Chrissy has to have a lot of fans. So we have to take certain things into account.
Well, that's actually true. And Chrissy had a message for her fans this week.
If it were appropriate, I would kiss every single one of you.
Yeah. It's coming.
Nothing has gone against her this whole
Chrissy
season.
She's had she's really not insane. I can't believe she hasn't had to deal with any adversity.
This is seriously like, first of all, I want to support the HOH, and that's why I think that Chrissy should be nominated. But also, this is probably our last chance to do anything negative toward Chrissy. Like, there is no other time for her to learn that she is not a fan favorite until she gets out of the House at this point. So if you are somebody who is vindictive, then you need to nominate Chrissy.
Alex,
think of myself as a vindictive person, and I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Well, it's rare to see Biscuit so worked up.
Well, it's rare to see a house guest that is like this perpetually grading. I mean, we watch a lot of feeds, and when someone is frustrating and annoying and constant, then it gets difficult after a while.
If it were appropriate, I would kiss every single one of you.
Okay. All right.
See, that sounds like Adam to me right there.
Adam Pock?
Yes. Promising things I don't want.
All right. Stack says, even though Danny has lots of hate with her strategic game, do you think that she has a shot at winning in the final three? Alex, is there a lot of Danny hate?
There's a lot of people who certainly criticize her early game. I think there's some hate, certainly, because anyone who gets into a showmance gets like an unfair amount of hate. Like, we just know this about, like, that's just, and especially the girl, right? The girl always gets like all the crap, and Shane is like, oh, he's just a dude, and Danny's the girl who like, oh, gave it up on TV. Like, it's such a double standard, and of course it's unfair, but she also has a lot of fans out there, and I do think I don't necessarily think she's a front runner to win if she gets there, but if she's there with the right combination of people, she's definitely a threat. I mean, because I think there is a large contingent of fans out there that have talked about respecting like her efforts at playing this game and really trying to do more, especially when you compare her to some of the people on her side that she's worked with this whole time.
I want to call it right now. I think Danielle is the front runner to win the whole thing. I think that Danielle is going to win this game.
Okay. Wow. You called it on Twitter the other day when you said that Danny just won this thing.
I think that she is in a great place too, because people underestimate how popular she can be. Her fan base is currently on the rise. She's always had a very loyal fan base, to a scary extent at some points, but it's just continuing to rise. If she wins a couple competitions, people are going to start to see her as like, yes, queen, winning competitions. She's a beast. She's been strategic the whole season, and probably none of that's true, but it's going to work. And I think she's going to win.
She was doing real good last week.
Our side of the house has to catch a break.
Yeah. Okay.
I think after Shelby won head of household, like, they got a little bit on the like Shelby, like, I can't believe this happened. Shelby's a stupid bitch and all this stuff. Like, that's what she needs to get away from. If she can like rein that stuff in and be more like the Danielle who's really thinking and trying to play the game, like, that's, people seem to be responding to that for sure.
Okay. This is from Dominic Capello. Should we play a game where we take a shot every time one of you say scenario? All right. Well, sure. Go ahead. Have at it.
If you took a shot for every possible scenario this week, you'd be in the hospital. So, you know, for what it's worth.
Oh,
okay. Leanna B, a proud member of Team Brent in the So You Think You Can podcast competition. How will the HOHs claim their nominations this week? Taryn, do we have any sense of that? Will we have the light up necklaces? Will we have a ceremony? Coin flip?
I really don't know. All I know is that Shelby goes first, and I don't. Maybe she'll just press another button. Okay. I don't know.
Alex, has there been anything interesting with Shelby and Jason being a co-HOH? We know that there's no love lost there. Have they had any differences with having to share the responsibility in the room?
I mean, so far, they haven't really butted heads. They've tried to be peaceful about it.
Are they both sleeping in there?
Yeah, well, Jason's got like his own HOH room up there. Double, like, you know how they do.
Got it.
Pandora's box has been opened, Rob. Yeah, right.
Yes.
But I mean, from my understanding, they're trying to make it reminds me of like kind of a divorced couple where they're like, look, like, we're going to spend, like, we have different groups of friends. Like, my friends are gonna be up here sometimes. Your friends are gonna be here sometimes. We're going to make this work. We're going to be amicable about this. Like, they're talking about visitation and stuff like that. So, you know,
can't relate
trying to
that.
Get through it.
Okay. then this is from Antisocial, says, I still want to buy Alex a frame for that poster. I will not give up until he gives me his shipping address. He's a grown up. No more unframed artwork.
Well, the he's a grown up part is very much up for debate, but yeah, duly noted.
Okay. come on, Alex. I've got a framed Omar up here. So
yes. Okay.
I have art. It's just not in my room.
All right. So, all right. Well, let's get back on topic. Right. I guess that's the last question. That was Scott's way of telling me that's the last question. All right. So, but this was a very fun discussion of everything that's going on in a very complicated week of Big Brother. So I'm glad we, this was very fun to go through all of this.
Soon we'll have holograms, right?
Soon we'll be in virtual reality also. Yes. And then in virtual reality, you'll be able to go and look at all of the posters in Alex's room.
We can play out all the simulations. We can have like in 100 scenarios of like this veto, like who's going to win X amount of times. So yeah. We can,
Taryn, are you ready in 4 years to watch the Big Brother live feeds in virtual reality?
Yeah, we'll be right in the house. It'll be great.
If it were appropriate, I would kiss every single one of you.
Yeah, you could be right there sitting on the couch with Chrissy in the HOH.
You know what? I think you just told me that that's when I stopped watching Big Brother, actually. you just convinced me.
Well, luckily she added the caveat, if that's appropriate, and we know it's not.
So. Yeah, you could be right there with Shane and Danielle.
Shane and Danielle went over the top, under the covers.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. I mean, sounded really cool at first, but now you're convincing me it's way too creepy.
It's going to be huge. The Big Brother house, I'm telling you, by 2020, we'll be in virtual reality in the Big Brother house. All right. So, Alex Kidwell, are you ready? What was your, this was going to be called Kidwell's Corner coming up on Saturday?
With a K, right?
I had that idea. Well, yes. Yeah, since I was like 8, actually, I was like, I'm going to have a show and I'm going to call it Kidwell's Corner. So yeah, way to make my dreams, Rob.
All right.
Always making my dreams come true.
Kidwell's Corner, that's going to be live at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, where Alex and 4 members of Team Alex, the loaded Kidwell's Corner, that they will have a big twist in the competition, that they're the only team with 4. They will have a double elimination coming up after round 2 of the competition. So we'll be eliminating 1 person, the lowest vote getter. We also, if you watch any of those podcasts on the show page, we have a link to vote for your favorites. You can grade out the people that are competing in the So You Think You Can podcast competition. So, so much to do as we go along. Daily content, Biscuit.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fun stuff. What's the hashtag tonight, Alex? Kidwell's Frames?
Alex is a grown-up.
Alex is a grown-up.
Get off of me. Something about the show that we cover.
Okay. How about... I don't know how you spell that. How many O's is that, Terry?
Yeah, how many H's? And right.
Well, I think there's probably an A in the middle somewhere because he changes pitch.
Let me see. Okay. What do we say? Let's go with
Janelle-esque.
What is that? 4 O's and 6 H's?
Sounds okay. Right.
Sounds good. Okay, 4 O's, 6 H's. That's the hashtag for tonight. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We got some really fun Survivor podcasts for you to check out as well. In addition to the know-it-alls and my exit interview this week, I thought it was a really strong exit interview. Very fun with Nick Majorano, who was here in person, and then Chaos Cast joined me for the voicemail. So check that out on robhasawebsite.com. Over the weekend, we will be getting into everything with the Wiggle Room and why the latest player of Survivor lost with a David Bloomberg, who will probably be still walking on air after his Cubs won the World Series. And then on Monday, I will get into the 13 archetypes of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X with our good friend AJ Mass. So plenty of stuff coming up on the podcast. We are locked and loaded here for the home stretch. Go check it all out at robhasawebsite.com or subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Anything else, guys?
Well, my show will also be on Monday.
Oh, okay. Coming so up on that one. Live on Monday at what time?
I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern.
7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. So be on the lookout for that. Follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter for updates on that. And at Alex Kidwell. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.